Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Happy New Year.
Andrea Barber.
Jody Sweetin.
First of 2024.
Yes.
Well, for us.
Well,
anyway,
for us, it's our first recording session of 2024. Yes. How were your holidays? Did you have a nice Christmas and New Year's?
I got sick.
Oh, no.
At one point. Not like, it was pretty crappy for like 2 days, but it was a perfect, I just gave myself permission to like, just kind of be mellow.
Oh, good.
So yeah, no, but it was, other than that, it was great. It was easy, you know, small family, just small little get together at the house, had the kids and my husband and my parents. And yeah, that was really it. And then New Year's, we did, you know, we did our New Year's celebration at 9 p.m. and that was it.
Oh, isn't that the best?
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
I did not.
I know this
is
airing a couple weeks later, so people are very much over here.
Yeah, they're
about
like, we don't want to hear about Christmas.
But I feel like January is that month when it's like the first time you see people, you're like, okay, I have to tell you how the holidays were.
Yeah, yeah, very true, very true.
Nothing, nothing. Yeah, February is really when we start back to work. That's what
right.
I feel like.
That's when my brain finally goes
right,
back
somewhere
to work.
Around mid February. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not stay up till midnight. I went to bed at 11 p.m., which was late for me,
right.
On New Year's. And Christmas was fine. I felt like the winter break was so long. Like, Felicity didn't go back to school until today.
Right. Yeah, Bee just
went
back,
too. So
she
had a very long winter break. It felt like years. But now we're all back to work, back to school.
All right. Back to business, back to podcasting.
Yes. And I'm very on edge because I've... Felicity takes her driving test in a few weeks, so we've been really emphasizing going out every day and driving, and it is absolutely hell. Like, it is my, I don't know if Zoe has started, I don't know if she has a permit or if she's getting gearing
up
for that.
Not yet, but she's working on it.
She's working on it. Okay. I think you'll be a much better driving instructor than I am because I am a very nervous driver. I'm a very nervous passenger.
Oh, I'm going to, I'm a little... She's done like parking lot driving, so not like real driving.
Okay.
So we'll get there though. We'll get there.
Yeah, I hate it. I hated it when I taught Tate. I hate it now. I've got knots in my neck.
Yeah, it's not fun. Teaching your kids anything is like stressful and they're stressed and you're stressed.
Yeah.
And then teaching them how to operate a vehicle around other people operating vehicles is terrifying.
There's so many things that could go wrong.
Right. Because you're like, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And she's good. Like, she's a good driver, but she is nervous like me, which is not good. So I always say, I'm like, well, you're great as long as no other cars are on the road. But once other cars get on the road,
that's going to be a problem here in LA.
It's a little bit of a problem. So
not be so easy.
Got to learn to drive defensively in LA. Yeah, it's not an easy state to drive in, for sure.
I mean, as we've seen on the show, apparently San Francisco is also not a great city to drive in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, cars go sailing into bays.
Right. And motorcycles get damaged.
Motorcycles, it's
all because of Jesse.
Yeah, he is going to be hard to insure. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, State Farm's going to drop him that.
State Farm is not always on his side.
Well, let's get into this next episode.
Let's
continuing
do it.
On
We're
with season two. Oh, man.
Season two, episode two.
Yeah.
This is a big one for you, too, by the way, which I loved.
It is a big one. My name's in the title, Tanner versus Gibbler.
I know.
Okay, so today we're discussing season two, episode two, Tanner versus Gibbler, which originally aired on October 21st, 1988. And it goes a little something like this. Danny starts a new job at the TV station, co-hosting a morning talk show called Wake Up San Francisco. He meets his new co-host, Rebecca Donaldson, just days before work is supposed to begin. Also, DJ throws a surprise birthday party for Kimmy, but Kimmy's older friends clash with DJ, causing a rift between the girls. This is our first big fight, DJ and Kimmy's first big fight, and I am here for this. It was directed by John Boab. I don't know if I said that right.
That looks right.
Okay, it looks
phonetically
right to me.
Speaking. Yeah, I have not. I will say I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't
Mr.
either.
Mr. Boab.
I have no recollection of this.
But
director.
I loved the some of the shots.
It was different. It felt different.
It felt a little more soap opera at moments. Like there was a shot where you're like kind of in the foreground and DJ walks in and like, and there were a couple things like sitting in the window seat of one of the girls' room that we don't usually do. Just some pieces of like set that weren't necessarily used or like moving the camera up into set a little bit more. It was interesting. I liked it.
I liked it too. I'm interested if this style will continue or if this director comes back. I don't know.
I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I liked it. I liked his style. So I'm a big fan. Big fan of John Boab. This episode was written by Lenny Ripps, who we love. I love Lenny Ripps because he created Kimmy Gibbler, and so he included me in a lot of his scripts. So
yep, he created Kimmy, and he loved writing for Steph, too. He liked writing for the little smart-ass lines for Steph.
Oh, yes, the best. You always had the best smart-aleck lines. and we have several notable guest stars this week. Most notable, we have the introduction of Lori Loughlin as Becky Donaldson, which is,
oh my
goodness. Thank God Becky has arrived.
Right? Oh, it's time. I can't take any more. I can't deal with Jesse anymore without Becky.
No.
We've got to.
Like, she is a
we've
breath
cut the
of
mullet.
Fresh air.
We're stepping in the right direction here with season two.
Jesse's like a snake shedding his old skin, and he's emerging.
He's growing. He's growing. It's lovely.
Oh, thank goodness. And so Lori, she had appeared on CBS Movies of the Week and specials, but most notably, she was in Back to the Beach with Frankie and Annette.
Also the movie Rad.
Oh,
anyone remember that movie?
No.
Yeah, the movie Rad.
Oh.
I think it was Rad. I always get Rad and Gleaming the Cube confused.
Okay.
But I believe it was Rad. And I think it was BMX riding, like bike riding. Maybe it was skateboarding. I feel like Gleaming the Cube was skateboarding. And this might have been like a Rad bike riding, like BMX thing.
Oh, okay.
Know.
Never seen it. Never heard of it. All right.
Yep.
But good to know. Good to know.
Very 80s, obviously, with a movie.
It sounds very
Rad.
80s.
Yeah. It's just, you can picture the neon.
Also guest starring this week is Kimberly Dunham as Melissa. And Amy Foster as Nina. I immediately recognized
this girl. I did
too. Girl.
I was like, oh my gosh, you're on so many things.
She's on so many things. She's most well known for playing Margot on Punky Brewster.
That's what I remembered. From was Punky.
That and she played Claire in Troop of Beverly Hills. I remember that too. Like such a great movie. She was just a sitcom queen in the 90s. Charles in Charge, Wonder Years, Empty Nest, Step by Step. Just these iconic shows. What a resume. And she stopped acting back in 1994, which I can relate to. That's right about the time I stopped acting as well.
Right, yeah.
But she did appear as Margot when Punky Brewster did their reboot in 2021. So that's great that she came back for that. Good for her.
Yeah.
And then our last guest star of this week is Richard Paul as Mr. Strobridge.
Also a very well-known character actor that I've seen in a ton of things. Yeah.
And I think he comes back. He comes back later in later episodes too, which is great because he's such a great actor. He played Jerry Falwell in The People versus Larry Flint.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yes. And he was a star of a 70s TV show called Carter Country.
County. Carter County.
Well, that too. Carter. I can't read. Carter County. Okay. And so he has tons of TV credits to his name, but sadly he passed away in 1998.
Oh.
So very sad I did not know that.
Yeah. But yeah, some definite like faces that you've seen on a lot of 80s and 90s TV shows and stuff in this episode.
Very recognizable. And he does such a good job as Danny's boss trying to talk Danny down.
Yes.
So we open. We have new opening credits. Like I had wondered last time, we got new credit. I knew the kids had gotten new credits the last episode, but now, John
with the haircut,
he's got a new opening credit, which is great. There's an updated shot of the family riding in Bullet the convertible on the bridge. Right. It looks like there's some scenes in the park.
There's some new stuff in the park. Yeah, John's got like the black hat on. That like we kind of redid the running scene. That we shot in the park and like the soccer or whatever. And then there was a couple things in a grocery store. I did not remember the part of the intro where there's like women talking to the baby in the cart and the three guys are at the grocery store. Like I don't remember that.
Right, that was just they got to appeal to all the Jesse type.
But I was like, because it was sort of like in the first season where the two girls walk by and, you know, Jesse and Joey go like off that way. It was that moment, but the updated version.
Oh, it was great. It was great. Yeah. Michelle is just a woman magnet, a babe magnet, if you will. So great. And then instead of at the very last shot, instead of picking up the baby off the kitchen floor, Bob picks up a toddler, or Michelle as a toddler walks over to him and he picks her up and puts her in the chair for the family dinner. So great. Yes. This is such a good updated opening credits. I loved it. So we open our cold open in Michelle's room where Michelle is bouncing on her little horse rocker when Jesse asks if she wants to go sleepy. Michelle promptly answers no. So Joey asks if she wants to stay up all night. And again, she answers no. Jesse scoffs and questions, well, isn't Mr. Horsey tired? Michelle tells him no. And Joey asks, are you going to say anything but no? And Michelle responds, no.
No.
Clearly, this is a word she has learned. Toddler. And she's very excited to showcase her her new lexicon of the word no.
Oh, yeah. When toddlers learn no, they're like, I'm going to say it for everything.
It's so funny. So Joey tries to trick her, asking, what's your favorite James Bond movie? Would it happen to be Doctor? And Michelle finishes by saying, no. And I laughed at this part because you can see Mary-Kate or Ashley staring straight up at the boom mic.
And I was going to say, remember how the boom, so a boom mic is like, it's like on a long stick. And on sitcoms, they had like these little, like podium things. And so the boom mic will go into set and it's kind of on a stick and the operator can be turning it depending on who's talking and things. But, you know, to a baby, it's this little thing that's like up in the air sort of moving around. And so they were fascinated by it.
They'd be
like, and like, look at it. And, you know, they would be like moving around and they'd like play games with it and stuff. And it was.
And you can't tell a toddler, don't look at that.
Right, don't look at it. Yeah, because they're like, what's that thing? Yeah. And it's near enough that they're like, should I touch it? Yeah.
Yes. So. I'm sure we'll see this again in future episodes of them trying to grab it.
A lot of times. Yeah.
So funny. So Jesse and Joey laugh at Michelle's response, and Jesse admits, it seems like we're unable to put a 2-year-old to bed. Joey asks Jesse if it's possible that she's smarter than them. They both start to shake their heads no when Michelle simply smiles and says, yes. And that is the button on her cold open. It's very, very, very cute. So then we continue in the kitchen where Jesse is singing as he makes peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Danny walks over to Michelle with a roll of tape in his hand, giving her a handy hint. He says, if you put masking tape around your hand, sticky side out, it's useful for removing that unsightly lint from jacket or sweater.
Did Danny Tanner invent the lint roller?
Yeah, this is pre-lint roller.
Is Ooh. That pre-lint roller?
Well, it's either makeshift one or maybe he invented
right?
it. Right? Wow. Let's go with that. Danny Tanner invented
Danny Tanner invented the lint roller. There we go.
That would track.
Yeah.
So Danny is demonstrating the effectiveness of his lint roller on Michelle's sweater. And Jesse chimes in, there's something every toddler needs to know.
Danny, again, leaning into his like OCD, we're seeing he's more and more fastidious about everything.
Yeah, it's very, very strong, this character trait. The writer's definitely leaned into this for season two.
Yeah.
So DJ announces she made a list of the food that she needs to get for Kimmy's surprise birthday party. She rattles off grape soda, orange soda, caramel corn, cherry licorice, and ice cream. Joey asks, why stop? Why shop? Just put out a bowl of white sugar.
Pretty sure. Much.
Well, yeah, that's kids
any good
parties,
sleepovers yeah. made of. Yeah, exactly. It's just straight pixie sticks.
Yep. The phone rings and Danny answers it, telling the person on the other line that he'll be right there. He tries to hang up, but he's unable to let go of the phone because the sticky tape is still on his hand from his handy tip demonstration.
See, that's where he came up with the lint roller. He was like, "You need a separate device to put the sticky on because if you put it on your hand, you're going to get stuck to things.
You're going to get stuck to the phone." Yeah,
where it came from.
This is the origin of lint rollers.
The origin of the lint roller.
It all makes sense now. So he tries to pull himself together. Bob is so funny in this where he's like knocking over the desk lamp and everything. It's just he does such a good job with this bit. But once he pulls himself together, he tells Jesse and Joey that was his boss on the phone and he needs him down at the station right away. He excitedly mentions that his boss said he has some good news, but then he corrects himself, realizing he actually said big news. Then he worriedly tells them, well, that could be bad news. Danny starts to spiral, questioning why didn't he say? Why didn't I ask him? He throws his arms up in the air and tells them, I'll worry on the way. And he rushes out the door.
That was a very Bob moment.
Such a Bob moment. Just yeah. neurotic, worried right. about things that you don't need to worry about.
Right.
And
right.
not letting anyone get a word in edgewise.
Not letting anyone, right. And then just leaving. And yes. be like, oh. And still worried.
Yes. Yeah. That was definitely an art imitates life moment.
Yes.
Joey says aloud, why does he make himself so crazy? And Jesse admits he doesn't know, but he points out that on the plus side, there's no lint on the phone.
Very, very delinted. That fabulous blue phone that matches the curtains.
That's so great that it matches. It's the same so hue great. Of blue as the curtains. That's just yeah. such detail.
Yep.
So Stephanie walks in and you're wearing this very cool Scotty Dog sweater, which
I am. It was my mom's first dog, actually, was a Scotty dog when she was like 20 years old, and it ate all of her shoes. They were very cute on a sweater.
And is this the same sweater you're wearing in your intro, in your opening credit? I feel like it's the same or a similar sweater. I don't know.
It might be. It might be. Yeah.
In repeat. Maybe this was the week that they shot those title credits and they're like, here.
Right.
Just go open the front door with a backpack.
Probably. Know. Okay. Yeah.
But Stephanie's carrying two pretty poofy dresses in her hand. And she asks DJ, which one of these dresses will I look cuter in at your party? DJ breaks it to her that she wouldn't like this party. It's going to be a bunch of sixth graders. So Steph holds up the dress on her left, saying, in that case, I'll wear this one. It makes me look older.
Yes.
DJ responds, let me say this as nice as I can. You're in first grade, and all the kids at this party are in the sixth grade. And she holds up one and six fingers to represent this numerical difference. Stephanie shoots right back, holding up her fingers to match DJ's. What if I bring five other first graders?
Yes.
The math makes sense.
The math is mathing.
The math is math. That's very creative for a first grader to come up with that. I laughed.
Yeah.
But DJ rolls her eyes and she calls Uncle Jesse over to give backup. As Steph calls out to Uncle Joey to have him help them because the girls are arguing. They start yelling at each other. Jesse and Joey pull them away and bringing them to their neutral corners so that they can work it out and understand this dispute. This is like a callback to the Oat Boat episode.
I was going
to
say, it's the very sisterly thing, and yes. I've watched it go down at my house. Like, oh my God, you can't. There was an argument last night between my kids because one B commented on Zoe's friend's post.
Oh, no.
You can't do that. I was like, you can't do that.
You can't control what other people are right. But commenting very, on.
Yeah, yeah, this is just the test of siblings. Right?
Oh,
it's
man.
Like, don't talk to my friends. Don't look at them. Yeah, don't be around them.
You're doing all the wrong things at all the wrong times. Yeah.
Yeah. And Steph's like, I just need to look cute and it's going to be fine.
Right. Why wouldn't she be invited to this party? So DJ goes first and she tells the uncles, well, she thinks she's coming to my party. And Steph nods and admits, I do think that.
Indeed.
Yes. Joey suggests to Stephanie, well, why don't we have our own super duper party upstairs? Doesn't that sound like fun? Steph cringes and asks, does that sound like fun to you? Steph's got Joey's number. Like she does.
Yeah, she's like, no, dude, don't lie to me.
Yeah, yeah. Don't even. DJ thanks Jesse and Joey for their help. And suddenly Kimmy barges in asking DJ if she's ready for school. Jesse scolds her, asking, how can you just barge into people's houses? Don't you ever knock? Kimmy tells him, well, I looked in the window. Nobody was in their underwear. She continues, when you're in your underwear, I knock. And Jesse walks away as he says, we need to get a guard dog.
Is this the first time that we've watched Kimmy just barge in?
I feel like it is. This is the first
time. I feel like the other times
moment.
Kimmy's already been in the house and usually been leaving.
Yes.
But this is her first.
This is the first of
Kramer-esque entrance
times.
Of like just running into the house and being like, hi, I live here too.
Barging in and that the sound of the kitchen door closing behind me, like it just brings
slam.
Up
yep.
that slam.
Yep.
Is so, yeah, it's just ingrained in my memory. I have a Pavlovian response whenever I hear that. So DJ walks up to Kimmy telling her happy birthday and reminding her we're going to the movies tonight. So come get me at exactly 7:00. Stephanie hears this and asks, movies? Well, what happened to Kimmy's surprise party?
Oh,
Stephanie. Kimmy's eyes get really wide and she asks, a surprise party for me? All right. Steph realizes her mistake and says, oops. Way to go. Didn't you do this last season too? You're giving away surprises.
Yeah,
like nobody should tell you anything.
Steph was, when Danny came home and she was like, but you guys actually did this. And they were like, no, we didn't. And she was like, yeah, actually you did. Yeah.
Oh, Stephanie, you're such the quintessential little sister.
Right.
So DJ looks at Steph and tells her she's dead meat. But Kimmy assures her that she'll act surprised. She then asks, hey, can I invite my two friends from karate class, Nina and Melissa? DJ tells her, hey, it's your surprise party. You can invite whoever you want. Stephanie chimes in, I'm free tonight. Invite me. You're just so desperate to come to this party.
Oh, poor Steph.
Like, she just never stops trying.
She just wanted a friend, man. Steph never, she's always looking for her people.
I admire your persistence in this entire episode. So the girls leave without giving her an answer. And Steph yells after them, you don't have to answer that now. Think it over. And Kimmy slams the door without answering. And Steph says, how rude.
Yeah.
So
it's more of a rude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a very,
A different, little slight change of the intonation and the drawing out of the rude.
The rude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely a full-fledged catchphrase at this point.
It
this is stuck. They tried out some other ones, like nobody asked me, but I think this is
right.
What
nobody
they
asked me
on.
did not stick. Yeah. Pin a rose on your nose came and went every once in a while. But
how rude was the catchphrase?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm sure every one of our listeners can attest that we all carry around different stressors, both big and small. And I carry around quite a few of them myself.
I know when I bottle up my problems and emotions, it can start to have a negative effect in my day-to-day life. Therapy is my safe space where I can get things off my chest and figure out how to solve the things that are weighing me down.
Seriously, therapy is an amazing tool to help you be the best version of yourself. And whether you're aiming to set new boundaries, something that is sometimes missing in our episodes, or learn positive coping skills, or learn to heal from trauma, therapy can help.
With BetterHelp, all you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude. I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988, no phones, no nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So we cut to the news station, and it is Becky's first appearance on the show. Woohoo!
Becky!
Becky is being given a tour around the set of Wake Up San Francisco as her boss, Mr. Strobridge, asks, "Do you like it?" She exclaims, "Like it? I love it. I could live here." Then she adds, "All this place needs is a sink, a toaster oven, and maybe a wall right about there." And she points to where the fourth wall would go. She tells her boss that she can't wait to meet her co-host. Mr. Strobridge assures her that Danny Tanner should be here any second. And then we see a man quickly run past the screen. That was so fast. Like, Bob was,
I know, right?
Super
well,
fast.
He had long legs. He was very tall.
Very true. So the boss confirms that was him. Don't worry, he'll be back. And Danny walks back into the set, scoots past Becky saying, "Excuse me," and immediately tells Mr. Strobridge that he can't wait to hear the big news. He confirms with Mr. Strobridge that it is big, good news, isn't it? And his boss assures him that yes, it is very good news. Mr. Strobridge tells Danny, "Tonight will be your last sportscast." Danny's shocked, assuming that he's getting fired. As he responds, "It's interesting how one man's good is another man's bad." Mr. Strobridge tries to explain, but Danny cuts him off, pleading, "What did I do? I'm always on time. The ratings are up. I never step on the weatherman's jokes. Who are you going to get to replace me?" He's panicked. This is Bob, right here.
This is Bob, right? Just are off the deep end, and you're like, wait, hold on. Yeah, and
he won't stop panicking or talking.
Right.
So Mr. Strobridge tries calming him, and he introduces Becky as the newest member of the Channel 8 family. Becky stands up, shaking Danny's hand and admitting it's wonderful to meet him. Danny politely agrees and then turns around to his boss and asks, "You're going to hire her?" Danny turns back to Becky and pleads, "Well, before you accept this job, can you just take a look at my three little girls here?" And he flips open his wallet and shows her the pictures of them as he continues, "You can't see their feet, but boy, do they go through shoes." Becky is very uncomfortable. She just kind of uncomfortably laughs.
I mean, right.
What are you supposed to say to this?
Well, he did just be like, her, right? You're like, sir, I don't, you've insulted me. You're showing me pictures of your kids. I don't know.
Talking about their feet. Just, right.
Right, yeah.
So she just says like, oh, cute kids, and tries to move on. Mr. Strobridge butts in, telling Danny, "You're not being fired. You and Rebecca will be co-hosting Wake Up San Francisco." Danny is shocked, asking, "Really?" His boss reassures him, and Danny yells, "I'm the new host of Wake Up San Francisco." Becky taps him on the shoulder and reminds him, "Co-host." Danny tells her, "I can live with that."
Can you imagine getting a surprise job like that?
Yeah. Essentially, just, a new job
you're
and,
like,
a, and a new
oh,
co-host.
I go to my job. And right, you, someone's like, come in. And we're like, we've given you a new job.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Didn't even ask him what he thought about it.
Didn't even ask. There were no negotiations. There were no, what's Danny getting paid? Is he getting paid the same to host Wake Up San Francisco as he was to do the sportscasting?
This is a completely different time of day. He probably has to get there at 5 a.m. now.
Right.
Instead
the schedule's
of 3 p.m.
changed. This feels like a lot to just spring on a person.
This is true. I didn't think about that.
I get why Danny's a little upset.
He's allowed to be a little unhinged here because this is. Yeah. Quite the surprise coming from the boss.
I'd love if someone was just like, "Hey, guess what? You that just what? I have a you.
Yeah,
you're giving me a
new
show.
Job
what?
And a new co-host,
right? Yeah. Oh,
so great
sitcoms. Yeah.
So Danny thanks his boss and gives him a hug. Then he gives Becky a hug, telling her, "Oh, you'll get used to this. I hug everybody."
Something that would not fly today.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Just can you imagine hugging someone at your work and going, "You'll get used to this. I hug everybody." Like, no, you don't. Like, not me.
No. So Becky laughs and tells him she likes people who hug. Mr. Strobridge excitedly tells them, "This is just what I was hoping for. Chemistry. That's what's going to take us from number three to number one." He pats both hosts on the shoulder and knowingly says, "San Francisco is going to love the two of you." He tells them that they'll be starting Monday. And Danny, once again, panics.
Becky, for good reason. He's got three kids. There's school.
There's no time to adjust to this massive change in his life. But Becky assures him that's the best way to do it. Just jump right in there and have fun. But Danny is baffled by what Becky is saying. He tells her it's going to take hours and hours of relentless rehearsal to make it look like we're having fun. Becky says, "Well, unless we actually are having fun." Danny is questioning this. He says, "Rebecca, no offense, but have you ever hosted a talk show before?"
I love this response. I was like, oh yes. Let him have it, Becky.
Becky shoots back. "As a matter of fact, I have. AM Omaha for 2 years." Take that, Danny. She asks if Danny has ever hosted a talk show before, and he pauses and then responds, "That's kind of personal."
I loved that moment because, so, for the 80s, it was a moment like she was like, "Actually, yes, I have. Have you?" And it was like,
he wasn't expecting the question to come back to him.
Yes.
So funny. Great. And I agree. They do have great chemistry as a co-host at this point.
On a side note, though, I have to say, can we talk about the fact that Lori hasn't aged?
No.
Like, she
looks... 36 years, she has not.
She probably wear those same pants.
I know. I'm sure she can't. She has the same Becky with the great hair. Like,
Becky,
yeah. Like, she's always been just stunningly beautiful and timeless. And, she's just fantastic.
I was like, she came on screen. I was like, you're the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks great.
I'm telling you, this was Jesse lucked out.
Jesse
came into their lives.
Yeah. In more ways than one.
Because she blows all the others out of the water completely. She's a clear winner.
I've, I mean, sea cruise to Becky? Come on.
Come on. Come on. Not even a competition,
yeah.
Not right?
Even. Yeah.
So in the living room, DJ announces to a group of sixth graders that it's party time. And DJ,
did you recognize some of the sixth graders? By
yes.
The way?
Yeah. Well, that was my everywhere you look moment. But we can talk about it now. Sorry. No. We can talk about it now. Did you recognize any of them?
I did, because one of them was my friend.
Corey. Oh. Which one? Oh, well, you probably. I don't have
the one who was wearing the side pony that I walk by and I go, "Love your hair," and she's like, "Oh yeah." My friend Tori Clive, who I met when I was 3 years old, and they have been family friends of ours. Still are to this day.
Oh.
But Tori was she was a little bit older. We met at my dance studio, but she was kind of closer to Candace's age.
Right, I remember.
She was
her.
like a sister to me, sort of in real life. But Tori was always coming and doing background stuff for you for like DJ and Kimmy sets because she was our age, sixth grade. Yeah,
I didn't even notice her in the background.
Yes,
that's
and
so
Gina
cool.
Tracona's daughter, our wardrobe lady's daughter.
Oh, she was
Christina.
In there too. Oh my
Christina,
gosh,
Christina. Yeah.
Wow. And Candace's cousin, Megan, is the blonde that's sitting on the coffee table, like in the foreground.
Yeah.
So was there anyone in this background that was not related?
Probably not. And there were other people there too that I was like, they look familiar. Were they friends of mine from a dance studio too? Like it might have been some other people I knew. Yeah.
Just a little benefit of being on a hit TV sitcom is you get to invite your friends and cousins and exactly. and daughters to be in the show.
Yes.
So Michelle walks into the room. She's holding a bowl of pretzels that is almost as big as her. DJ walks over, reminding Michelle that she's supposed to be in the kitchen. But Michelle drops the bowl, and the pretzels go flying everywhere, which I felt really bad. It seemed organic. Like, this seemed like she really dropped it. Like, it wasn't scripted? I don't know.
It was scripted.
Okay. She just did it so naturally. It didn't look like somebody was prompting her to drop it. So I was very impressed with them.
Well, toddlers are one thing that they're really great at is dropping things and being true. Like, bleh. Yeah, on the ground. And be like, don't drop that. And you're just like, okay. Yeah.
That's
so
true.
I have a feeling it was just tapped right into her natural abilities.
Yeah. You don't need acting classes to learn how to drop things.
No. For a toddler to say no and drop food on the floor,
they were writing to her abilities for sure.
Yes.
So she leans down to pick up her mess, but DJ assures her that DJ will clean it up. Jesse walks into the room to retrieve Michelle, and he starts to carry Michelle out of the room when he notices it's awfully quiet in here. He asks DJ, "What's going on? It's supposed to be a party." And DJ whispers, "They think you're cute." The camera pans to the sixth grade girls, all giving Jesse a small smile and a wave. Jesse waves back and makes the comment, "Where were they when I was 12?
I just wrote down, "Ew, stop." Yeah, I was
don't,
like, that's, no,
don't.
Stop.
Like, just
no,
leave.
No.
Leave
yeah, she's
the
like
set.
Not born. Yeah, exactly. Stop. Just stop now.
Get out of there. Yes, exactly. Not born. Bye. So Jesse leaves, and DJ promises the girls that was the last interruption. The doorbell rings, and DJ tells everyone to get ready because that's Kimmy. This should be your first clue that it's not Kimmy, because Kimmy doesn't ring the doorbell. She just walks right in
just
everywhere.
Walks in.
So, I thought that was a dead giveaway, but that's okay.
Well, but remember, Kimmy knows about the surprise party, so she's going to ask, and DJ knows she knows, so she's probably going to be like, oh, okay.
Okay, so this was kind of planned out maybe in advance. But DJ opens the door, and the whole group yells surprise as Stephanie walks in.
With gloves.
Her one of those poofy dresses.
Bag.
Oh, yeah. Matching gloves, your little purse, your little patent shoes. Like, you are dressed for a very fancy party. You were like,
ready.
You could go to church or you could go to
a garden party. Yeah.
It did look like you were just missing like a fascinator.
It made me look older, but by older, we meant like 70. Yeah.
So Stephanie announces, "For me, you shouldn't have." Which is just so funny. Just leaning into this so hard, selling it.
Oh.
But DJ glares at her and asks Stephanie, "What are you doing here?" Stephanie's excuse is that she just went out to check the mail in your fanciest dress.
Yeah.
Stephanie walks in, sees the pretzels on the floor, and goes to pick them up, saying, "Don't mind if I do." DJ grabs her arm and yanks her away, saying, "I mind if you do." She yells at Stephanie to go upstairs. And Steph responds, "Oh, dear me. I almost forgot. I do have a super duper party waiting for me upstairs."
Apparently, I turn into Angela Lansbury or something.
You're so committed to this character
I'm doing. Whoa, God. I mean, I was a kid. Like, here, act ridiculous. Oh, yes. Thank you. Like, it was great. I was
like, you're partially British at this point. Like, it's just hysterical.
I mean, my British accent was as good then as it was when I came back and did it in Fuller House.
Yes. You didn't really improve in those 36 or 30 whatever years, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
As Stephanie makes her way upstairs, she passes each girl, complimenting a few of them and adding, "We must do this again sometime." You're just ready for your afternoon tea with the queen.
Yeah.
Well, while everyone is distracted by Stephanie, they didn't realize that the door was left open. And Kimmy walks in yelling, "Surprise!" to everyone. And everyone groans, realizing that the surprise was ruined.
Wow, Steph blew it twice.
I know, Steph, you're just, wow. Well, DJ's, you can just see that she's fuming.
I can see, I'd be pissed too. I'd be pissed too. I'm sorry, Deej, that I get it.
Yep. Kimmy keeps overacting, telling everyone, "A surprise party for me? What a surprise." Kimmy introduces her two karate friends to DJ, referring to them as the two friends you said I could invite, Nina and Melissa. They're in junior high. And the sixth graders immediately ooh at this. Like, this is very impressive to be hanging out with junior high girls. Oh, my goodness. Nina and Melissa walk in, telling DJ, "We wouldn't miss a party for our new pal, Cammy." DJ defensively tells them, her name's Kimmy. Kimmy turns to DJ, telling her, they wear lipstick. They can call me whatever they want.
Kimmy.
And this reminded me of this Kimmy. This happened in Just One of the Guys with Kirk Cameron, cousin Steve,
right,
who also called me Cammy. And DJ tried to correct him, and she's like, "No, yeah, I'm Cammy."
But if didn't your own brother call you Cammy in that letter too? Didn't we have this discussion that he like wrote the letter and he wrote Cammy?
Yeah.
Does no one know
Does your name know my name?
Are you actually Cammy and you don't know that it's that?
That's an interesting twist. Her real name is Cammy Gibbler.
Cammy Gibbler.
Just forgot.
That's, yeah, in true Kimmy form, she finds out in her somewhere in her late 40s that actually her name is Cammy, and her parents forgot to tell her, and she never paid attention.
That should have been an episode of Fuller where, Kimmy finds her birth certificate and is stunned.
Right, and it's, wait, Cammy?
So Nina tells the girls that this party is dead.
I mean, then she asks. Wrong.
She's kind of not. Yeah, they're just sitting around. Then the surprises are getting spoiled.
It's like the kids do now, where they just sit around on their cell phones and stare at a screen.
Yeah. So then Nina asks DJ if her dad is home. DJ responds no, and Melissa exclaims, "Good. This is a great party house." And DJ smiles and thanks them, but Nina adds, "Much better than the house we trashed last weekend." Uh oh.
Damn. For junior high schoolers,
I thought that was a little young. Do junior high kids trash home? I thought that was more of a high school aged thing, not junior high. Maybe I mean,
it's the 80s. So again, they had that, you know, do you know where your kids are at 10 p.m. things. So maybe seventh graders were out like having raging house parties. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Maybe that was the thing back in
the 80s. It was just a thing. Yeah. It was, you know, whatever. Let them go.
Why not? Fine. Come in when the streetlight comes on. Otherwise, you're fine. Parents don't care where you are. So DJ and Kimmy look at each other wide eyed and nervous. And Melissa and Nina find the phone to call Greg, Andy, and the Duke. DJ
Quick. The Duke sounds suspiciously old to be hanging out with middle schoolers.
It's
anyone that goes by the Duke, I'm like, Duke?
unless you're part of the royal British family, like
that feels to me like someone who's like gotten held back a few years
like
is definitely like not a great influence.
It's somebody who definitely trash a house. Yeah,
unless she was talking about John Wayne. In which case, you know, I don't know.
That's an entirely different interpretation.
He also went by the Duke. Yeah, but I don't think that was it either.
So DJ quickly walks over to them saying, "Hey, before you call any Dukes, do you mind telling me what you're doing?" Nina tells her not to worry. In an hour, they'll have 50 or 60 kids there. Melissa's on the phone with Duke when she asks what DJ's address is. DJ swoops in and takes the phone from her, telling Duke, "This is a crank call," and hangs up immediately. Melissa looks at DJ and says, "What a dweeb." DJ snaps back, telling them, "This party isn't for you and your friends. It's a party for Kimmy and her friends."
Cammy.
So Cammy walks over to DJ in embarrassment, telling her, "DJ, you're messing everything up." Cammy reiterates the importance of them being in junior high, and DJ finally asks her, who cares? Which is so true. It's, like, really, yeah. Like, what the bigger picture here, Kimmy, like, it doesn't matter that they're in junior high.
I know. I actually kind of felt bad for, I was like, Kimmy, no, stop. Like, Kimmy's usually so, like, into, like, who she is and being independent and kind of whatever. And I was like, no, Kimmy is
very highly influenced by bad influences. She just wants to be part of the cool kids. You're right. This is a departure from her character later on.
But I mean, in all fairness, the one girl is wearing a dream of an acid denim.
Oh, yeah.
Acid wash denim outfit with a jacket and a skirt. It was made. I'm pretty sure that was, like, in commercials for that board game, like, Mall Madness or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or like the Punky Brewster doll. Thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that was it.
So, you know, I get it. Kimmy was like, I want to be like them.
I want to be them. Yes. I think this is common. A lot of kids go through this, just wanting to be part of the cool crowd until they see the light and realize, you know what? Yeah. Cool crowd isn't always that cool.
They're usually not.
They're usually not. So Nina announces, this is the land of the lame. Come on, Kimmy. Let's get out of here. Kimmy starts to follow the older girls out, and DJ calls after her. You can't leave your own birthday party. And Kimmy is torn. She looks towards Nina, Melissa, and then she looks back at DJ. And finally, she just says emphatically, you can't tell me what to do. DJ explains that she's not telling her what to do. She's just saying, don't act dumb. And Kimmy gets very defensive, and she says, oh, well, now I'm dumb. Melissa tells her if she stays here. And Nina encourages Kimmy, saying the mall is open until 9 o'clock. So Kimmy agrees with the girls, telling them, let's do it, and leaves the surprise party. We fade out on an embarrassed and sad DJ and go to a sad commercial break. Like, I'm sorry, this is a dick move. I will own it. Like, this is, Kimmy is so rude and so mean to DJ who threw her this party.
Yeah.
Talk about unappreciative. Wow.
Yeah. Kimmy's going through it.
She's going through it, but there's no excuse to treat your best friend like this. Like, it's just,
absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I get it. She's young.
She's very selfish.
Yes. And very impressionable.
And really wanting to be cool. And it was a shame. It was a poor choice.
It was definitely a poor choice.
You were in sixth grade also.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess as an 11 or 12 year old, whatever we were at this time, it's a common thing to have to be faced with a decision like this, and then you make the wrong one, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So we return from the sad commercial break in DJ and Stephanie's room, where Stephanie has lined up her stuffed animals in rows, telling them there will be no talking in class. Steph continues playing teacher, calling out Mr. Bear. This is it.
He's here.
The heavens have opened up, and here is Mr. Bear.
Mr. Bear is here.
Oh, yeah. Yep. What took so long for Mr. Bear to appear?
I don't know why why it took so long to feature him, but, you know, he's here now, and that's all.
He's here now, yes. And did you have any idea at this moment that Mr. Bear would become such an iconic part of Stephanie's story, or was this just like a random?
I don't think so. No, I think it was just a random thing that we found, and then I think they just thought he was, like, you know, kind of funny and cute because he's dressed as Humphrey Bogart from Casablanca. That they were like, it's just sort of silly that, you know, Steph has this bear in a trench coat.
And
it just stuck.
I'm so glad Mr. Bear has finally joined the Full House universe here.
So yeah, I feel like we got Mr. Bear and Becky in the same episode.
Yeah, this is a huge episode, like a huge episode.
It really is.
This is setting the tone for the rest of the series, basically.
Yeah.
So Stephanie tells Mr. Bear, if it's so funny, why don't you share it with everybody? Clearly copying something her teacher has said.
I've never had a teacher tell me that before in my life. No talking in class, never.
Well, sure, Jody. So the stuffed animals are just staring blankly back at Stephanie when DJ comes huffing into the room, and Steph asks if she wants to play school. DJ plops on her bed and sighs, saying she wants to quit school. Stephanie asks, is that because you ate lunch by yourself today? DJ corrects her. I wasn't eating by myself. I was eating alone. There's a big difference. Steph turns to her stuffed animal students, asking them, any questions, class? Mr. Bear seemingly asks a question, which Stephanie relays to DJ.
Very involved in class, that bear.
Oh, he's an A student, in my opinion.
He really is.
Mr. Bear wants to know why all the kids in school were calling DJ a geek burger. DJ stands up and grabs Mr. Bear, saying he's going to the principal's office, and she throws him in the toy chest. And then Steph corrects her, that's the cafeteria. Because God forbid you throw the bear in the wrong room, pretend room.
Yeah.
So Stephanie continues, I told them you weren't a geek burger. Then they called me a geek burger junior. How rude.
This is a double how rude episode.
Wow. This is, I'm telling you, a just an incredible episode all around. Two how rudes and Mr.
Two
Bear.
How rudes, a Becky, a Mr. Bear.
Wow.
Kimmy.
Yeah.
In a fabulous checkered outfit. I mean, there's so much happening.
Yeah, there's so much happening. So DJ tells her it's all Kimmy's fault. She hates my guts because I wouldn't let her stupid friends take over the party and wreck my house. Now she's turned the whole school against me.
Damn, Kimmy, that's cold.
She's so cold. Kimmy is so awful in this episode. So awful. Steph sits down next to DJ trying to comfort her by saying, don't feel bad. I know you're not a geek burger. Aw. Steph pushes her arm and thanks her, adding, and I know you're not a geek burger junior. Steph pushes her right back, thanking her as well. Steph gets up and says, well, until this blows over, I think I'll change my name to Connie Chung. Is Stephanie watching Connie Chung at the age of six? Like, is this just like a
thing? Yes, I knew who she was. She was a news anchor.
It's just such a mature reference. You know what's weird is
I think there were several references made to her. I mean, she was like, it was like Connie Chung, Barbara Walters. Like, they were sort of Diane Sawyer.
Yeah.
It was like there were three female news anchors or new, you know, that was about it. But
they were legendary. Yeah.
That's totally. So, but Connie Chung. No one would ever know.
I love that Stephanie is a fan of Connie Chung. That just makes a lot of sense.
I mean, she's thinking smart. She's like, how is nobody ever going to look for me? And that. Nobody would look for her.
She's right. So next, we cut to the living room where Danny is cleaning the TV with the whole family gathered around it. Joey tells him
it is anxiety cleaning.
Oh, anxiety cleaning. Yes, taking out all
it
his
really
anxiety.
Is. This is a case study in some sort of like OCD anxiety, like how trauma is affected. Yeah, anyway, we'll get into that.
If you notice, he's always anxious right when he before or during cleaning.
Right, before he's doing something and it's getting worse and it's getting, you know, it's okay.
That
house
tracks.
Is very clean now, though.
I get it.
It looks much better than it did in the beginning.
This is true. And I understand because I tend to clean, too, when I'm angry or need to like get some aggression out. So it's a very effective technique.
Mm-hmm.
But Joey tells him to stop Windexing. They're dying to watch his first show. Stephanie reminds him not to play the tape until Uncle Jesse gets there. Oh, Danny knew he forgot something. The tape. Becky interjects, saying she brought it. And Danny admires the two of them, saying, what a team. I forget and you remember.
That's the motto of our team.
Right. that's the tagline for you and Tanneritos.
Right. What a team. I forget and you remember.
Yeah. So Becky walks over to her purse, which is by the front door, to grab the tape. And in walks Jesse. He sees Becky and immediately says, have mercy. He shakes her hand, and Becky assumes it's Jesse. Danny's told her about him. Jesse smiles and asks, oh, well, what did he say? And Becky reiterates, he said he had a brother-in-law named Jesse. And she walks away.
So Becky just put from the very beginning, she's just like, no.
Yep, and this is what Jesse needs, somebody to kind of just like bring him back down. Bring
him
back down
to
reality, you know? So Jesse's offended, telling Danny, well, thanks for the buildup, pal. And Jesse continues the conversation with Becky, asking, oh, well, you must be Rebecca. And she tells him, no, please call me Becky. Jesse responds, Becky, I like that. Becky, Becky, Becky. He tells her he was going to go get something to drink and asks if she'd like something. She asks what they've got. And he asks what she likes. And she responds, whatever you have. It's such a weird, like, they're flirting in front of the whole family. It's weird flirting. It's just,
I don't even know that she's flirting, though. I think she, like, the way I took it is that he's flirting and she's just like, what do you have?
Like, just tell me, do you have beer, wine,
Sprite,
or water?
Water, juice? I don't know. What do you, that's kind of how I felt about it.
Yes. She's like, get to the point.
I think from the beginning, she's just like, no.
She's very matter of fact. Yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
not
Jesse's
impressed.
Trying to drag this out and make this a
thing.
Right. And it's, she's not responding. So Jesse decides that they should go get drinks together and they exit to the kitchen. And they already have so much chemistry. Like just from this 2-minute interaction, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
The chemistry is just popping off the screen. Yeah. They're just two very attractive people and they're already, you know, getting along great. I love watching these early interactions between
people that become the meet iconic. Cute, the Jesse Becky meet cute.
Yes. Oh, it's so great. So Danny looks over at DJ asking if everything's okay. And she tells him, yeah, she's fine. She can't wait to watch the show. She's not very convincing, but that's okay. We cut to the kitchen where Jesse is grabbing some drinks out of the fridge. He asks Jesse if she's found an apartment yet. She says she's found plenty. The problem is they all have people living inside. Jesse laughs as he pours their drinks, telling her, I find a sense of humor very attractive in a woman. Becky tells him this is going to sound weird, but he reminds her of someone. Jesse slyly goes to close the kitchen door as he asks, who's that? Becky laughs and tells him, it's silly, you don't want to hear it. And Jesse assures her to go ahead. People tell him all the time. Then he breaks out in his Elvis voice, saying, come on, pretty mama, lay it on me. Becky laughs and admits, you remind me of Corky. Jesse's confused, Corky? Becky tells him, that's her little baby brother, and he used to do that same cute Elvis voice. Jesse uncomfortably asks, I remind you of your little baby brother? And Becky's like, yeah, it's uncanny. She tells Jesse, Corky and I would go up to Sutter's Pond to catch frogs, and he would always say, come on, little froggy mama, as she tries out a cute Elvis voice, too. She did a great impression, too.
Yeah.
Very impressed with her. Jesse says, Elvis never said that. And Becky laughs and tousles his hair as she walks away, saying, you really are cute. And Jesse says aloud, we are so far from where I want to be. Like, he's already been friend-zoned.
So great. I loved this. I loved it. And I forgot that this was sort of the dynamic in the beginning that Becky was kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You. Yeah.
She puts him in the brother zone, not even the friend zone, but the brother zone. Like,
you remind me of my brother. Yeah.
I've been waiting for this. Is so satisfying. I've been waiting for this. After Jesse has dated everyone in the greater San Francisco area.
Yeah.
He
also, though, something to think about. Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. It continues.
I mean, she goes by Becky. She goes by Becky.
Yeah.
But Rebecca.
Rebecca. Yep. It's the trend.
It's another A name.
Has continued, but she shortens it to Becky. So, yeah. But yeah, you're right. Technically, Rebecca. Goodness.
I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweeten?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure, stress-free, and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll make it like it's 1988, no yes. phones, no nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global.
Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
So back in the living room, everyone is gathered around as Danny reminds them that this is their first show, so they were a little nervous. The family urges him to just play it, so he does, and the tape starts. Danny starts off the show with an awkward ad lib. Danny pauses the tape, telling the family he thought that joke was pretty good. Everyone politely agrees, and Joey urges, yeah, that was a great 12 seconds. Is there more? Danny resumes the recording, and this time, Rebecca ad libs a joke that the whole family actually laughs at. Danny doesn't like this. Danny pauses the tape and comments, you didn't laugh at my joke.
This, again, was such a Bob moment. I was like,
such a Bob moment.
Wait, but didn't you think I was funny?
Why didn't you laugh at my joke?
Why didn't you laugh at my joke? You laughed at his funny.
He's just so jealous that people aren't laughing at his joke.
I wrote down such a Bob thing. You didn't laugh at my joke.
Yeah. So Stephanie assures him, we were laughing inside.
And I have also said that to Bob.
You've said that to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Or done something. He like waited for a joke. I remember one time he waited till everybody was quiet and then he just said something and it didn't get a laugh.
Oh,
and I just looked up and I went, I'm so glad we waited for that. And he was like, aw. He was so dejected.
Poor Bob. He was so sensitive. So sensitive. We do. So Danny asks if he should rewind the tape so that they can hear his joke again. And the whole family is like, no, we don't want to see it again. Joey finally just snatches the remote and plays the tape. But not long after, cartoons suddenly appear on the TV.
Was it Wildcats, I believe?
Oh, I don't know.
Something like that?
I wasn't paying attention. Huh. We find out that Michelle is holding the remote, and Danny tells her, hey, you just turned off Daddy's new show. In response, Michelle sticks out her tongue at him. And before Danny is able to switch the channel back, Steph and Joey voice their desire to keep the cartoons on for a while. Hey, you know, I don't blame them. They had to watch their cartoons.
Yeah.
So up in DJ and Stephanie's room, the famous Red Lips phone rings. Yep. God, I love that thing. And for whatever reason, Jesse is there and he answers it. He calls down to DJ. It's for her. Jesse tells her it's Kimmy. And DJ grabs the phone and immediately hangs up. Jesse and Joey walk over to her as she's sitting on her bed with Mr. Bear. They ask her if something's wrong, and she responds, oh, I told that kid a million times to keep her junk off my bed, and she throws Mr. Bear onto Stephanie's bed.
Tossing of Mr. Bear.
I know, right? She's like, no, Mr. Bear is sacred. Handle with care. They ask her if she's pretty bummed, and she denies it while twirling a piece of her hair. Jesse points out how she always twirls her hair like that when she's bummed. And so DJ finally admits, well, you'd be bummed too if Kimmy got the whole school saying you're a geek burger. Joey points out that she could have been calling to apologize. And DJ tells them, well, she can dial till her fingers fall off. I'm never talking to that little traitor again.
Oof.
Kimmy deserves this, though. You know, like this, Kimmy was not nice this episode. Yeah. Jesse assures her that she can't mean that. Kimmy is her best friend. And DJ corrects him. Ex-best friend. She gets up and sits on Stephanie's bed. Jesse forces Joey to go over to her, and he tells DJ, I know you're upset with Kimmy, but that doesn't mean you throw the whole friendship out the window. DJ responds, ex-friendship out the ex-window. And she moves over to the little table. And I love how the director's using blocking in this scene to kind of, he uses DJ's agitation to kind of move her from space to space to avoid the guys and their questioning.
Well, you know, a sitcom, you're always like, sitcom, like the pacing, you have to be crossing and moving, and otherwise it's just a dead shot. And this episode we talked about, like, had just much different pacing, a little bit slower, and like moments breathed a little bit more. It didn't feel like it was, you know, quite as sitcom-y of a pace. You know what I mean? It felt like it breathed a little bit more. I loved it. Yeah, it was great.
I thought it was great. I almost wonder if this director was like a single cam director.
That's what it felt like. It felt like he was maybe a soap opera director or a single cam, but like that more...
Just the closer-ups, the different angles. I like it. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
So Jesse and Joey fight over who should go talk to her next, and Joey is forced to. He tells her she's so upset because... The people that hurt you the most are the people that you love the most, which is brilliant insight from Joey.
Yes. The people that can hurt you.
The people that can hurt you the most are the people that you love the most. Yes, that's right. It's so true. Joey walks over to Jesse using the two of them as an example. Jesse glares at him, asking, is that the best example? But Jesse's kidding. Joey's right, and he has a story to prove that. Jesse tells DJ, just last week, Joey taped over my favorite Elvis video with Pee-wee's Playhouse. And then he does some voices that I'm not going to try to replicate. But he continues, the point is, Joey made a mistake, but I forgave him. Erasing a friendship is a lot worse than erasing a tape. DJ walks over to the phone and tells them, well, I still think she's a nerd bomber. Joey talks...
These creative insults are...
I love it. Yeah, Nerd Bomber, Geek Burger.
Nerd Bomber, yeah.
Yeah, Geek Burger Jr., a Geek Burger with cheese is coming up. I love it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Joey talks to DJ next, asking if she remembers her beat-up old flat soccer ball that he accidentally threw away. DJ remembers. It's the ball she scored her first goal with. She was so mad at him, but she isn't anymore. And Joey explains, if you hadn't forgiven me, we would have missed out on all the good times we've had between then and now. And all the good times we're going to have. DJ understands that they're trying to get her to give Kimmy another chance. Joey tells her, part of having a best friend is being a best friend. Let the hurt go away, not Kimmy. Like, there's such great sound bites in this scene.
I know.
Great advice.
I got a lot out of this episode.
I did too. This really rings true. I'm amazed that these two uncles... that didn't know how to diaper a baby a season ago are just giving this great advice.
Now, this was such a great scene. It was like so real.
Very real, and it definitely gave DJ a lot of things to think about. Mm-hmm. So Stephanie yells up. Steph is off screen, but she yells up to DJ telling her, Kimmy Gibbler's downstairs. DJ tells Joey that, okay, she'll go talk to her. Once DJ leaves, Jesse stutters, trying to commend Joey on his advice. He tells him, I'm touched. That was really beautiful. Joey pats him on the shoulder, saying, I think we really helped the kid out, huh, Ozzy? And Jesse agrees, we sure did, Harriet.
By the way, for those of you who are like, who's Ozzy? And I don't remember Ozzy Osbourne being with anyone named Harriet.
Oh, no.
Ozzy and Harriet were a, like, 1950s sitcom about, like, this great little family life, whatever.
Old school style. Yeah.
Nothing to do with Ozzy Osbourne.
Right. Thank goodness. We cut to the living room where Kimmy is waiting for DJ. And this is one of those cool shots that you mentioned.
Yes, where we're like, Kimmy's sitting here and she's in the foreground. Yeah. And then DJ's kind of soft focused in the back. And it was a very single cam type of shot. Yeah,
it was great.
I liked it.
And it kind of highlighted my hair, which I loved, which was in like this banana clip.
Oh, it looked so cute. Oh
I love the banana clip. With the banana.
You look so great. The checkers, the bigger ones on top, the small. Yeah, it was. Very fashion-forward Kimmy. Yeah.
I felt great in this episode.
You looked great.
I loved my hair,
you
loved
great,
my outfits.
And you did a fantastic performance.
Oh, well, we'll get to that because I don't necessarily agree. So DJ and Kimmy coldly say hi to one another. And DJ encourages her to go ahead and apologize. Kimmy questions, apologize? DJ assumed that that's the reason why she came here. But DJ says, no, she's there because her mom told her to go over and get her presents.
Ooh,
oh my, what a burn. Wow. Like she just keeps getting ruder. Ruder and ruder. This sounds, you know what? I can see Mrs. Gibbler giving this advice to her daughter.
Yeah, it's true.
It doesn't matter that her daughter's been a total dick. Just go over there and get your presents.
Right. Push your presents. Yeah.
So DJ asks, but if you don't apologize, how can I forgive you? Kimmy asks, forgive me for what? Getting kicked out of my own party? DJ argues, I didn't kick you out, you left. Kimmy shoots back, because you embarrassed me in front of Nina and Melissa. DJ finally asks, what's wrong with you? I can't believe you'd rather be friends with girls who really aren't your friends than friends with a friend who already was your friend. Kimmy tells her, I don't know what you just said, but same to you, Geek Burger. DJ says, don't call me that, Kimmy Gobbler. Kimmy calls her a double geek burger with cheese.
Ooh.
Which is the ultimate insult.
This is the back ultimate.
In 1988.
Oof.
And DJ tells her she hates her. Kimmy says she hates DJ too and tells her to mail me my presents. So this, like, I can't believe they used the H word, that they actually said, I hate you to the other person.
Yeah.
This is getting very ugly, very fast.
Yeah. But also very, very typical sixth grade girl, best friend things.
Yep. Everything is of uber importance and they fight.
And it's the like worst thing ever. And it's all, right. Yeah. Yep.
So dramatic. So much drama. So Kimmy starts to storm out. But before she makes it to the front door, DJ tells her to wait. And there's definitely like a tonal shift here, also marked by the beginning of the violins.
Right.
DJ asks, how could you call me all those names in school? Kimmy tells her, I wasn't the only one. Everyone was calling you, well, you know, the G word. DJ reminds her, you're supposed to be my friend. And Kimmy corrects her, best friend. DJ smiles and agrees, best friend. DJ goes on to ask, well, if we don't make up, how are we going to share lockers in junior high? Kimmy adds on, we won't get to go to college together. And DJ says, we won't be able to marry identical twins and be congresswomen. Kimmy nods, we got to make up or our lives will be ruined. They should have brought this back in Fuller House. We weren't congresswomen.
Yeah, right?
We weren't, you know, marrying identical twins. So we really got off track there in Fuller House.
Yeah.
Kimmy tells her she really is sorry. She admits, I'm sorry I brought those dumb junior high girls to the party. I'm sorry I left with them. I'm sorry they dumped me when they met those two cute guys at the mall. And I'm really sorry I told everybody you're a geek burger. I'm the geek burger. DJ smiles and tells her, don't say that about my best friend. The girls hug. Aww. The audience awes. Yes. This is such a great, this is such a great moment.
Yep.
And DJ reminds her that she never opened her birthday present. DJ runs and grabs a big rainbow box with purple bows and hands it to Kimmy, telling her happy birthday. Kimmy opens it and pulls out a purple hat, saying, this is like only the raddest hat in the entire universe.
It's got sequins on it.
Oh, it's got bling. It's
purple.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Kimmy loves it. Kimmy is so here for
it. It's all 80s all the time.
All 80s. So Kimmy puts it on and DJ comments, well, it should be. It cost a fortune. Which I guess if DJ's spending her own money from her own allowance, yes, that's
right,
that costs
that's
a fortune. Yeah. Kimmy asks, well, what do you want to do now? DJ suggests they open up all of her birthday presents and then go to the mall and exchange them. Kimmy argues, but I might like them. And DJ assures her, no, you won't. Believe me, I already opened them. And they continue opening presents. And that is our show. Da-da. Oh, my goodness. Da-da. This last scene was so hard for me to watch, though, because I could see, oh my gosh, I could see how hard I was concentrating, and I could feel my stress, and I don't know if I was stressed about remembering my lines or trying to hit these emotional beats that were all, you know, Kimmy doesn't usually get emotional beats. It's all like zinger after zinger after zinger.
Right, right.
And so, but I could see myself concentrating so hard, and I don't know if I loved my pacing. I wish I had done it differently. I mean, here we are. 36 years later,
right,
critiquing this. But yeah, I felt like this was early on in my journey as a serious actor. And so,
I thought it actually was great.
Really?
I thought you actually did a really good job of it.
Oh, well, thanks. Maybe I'm being overcritical of myself, but I definitely was cringing as I was watching it.
No, I was not at all. I wrote down like such a great scene. I thought you guys did a really good job together. It was a real journey of Kimmy being like upset and this and that. And then, you know, the apology, and you just really saw a lot of their relationship in it. So
I thought you
did great.
Thank you. I do think that Candace and I had great chemistry, and it was believable that we had been best friends for a long time. It was believable that they were both hurt for different reasons.
Yeah.
I am wondering though, do you think DJ forgave Kimmy a little too quickly? Like, shouldn't Kimmy have had to work a little bit harder?
That. I was like, the part where she's like, basically Kimmy was calling her the name too. She's like, well, everybody was doing it.
Yeah.
Then suddenly she's like, yeah, but I'm your best friend. I was like, Kimmy.
Yeah.
You were just, I think I felt like DJ, you had to earn it a little bit more.
I agree.
we also were getting to the end of the show and we had to wrap it up.
Yeah, so. We were at 22 minutes and we needed to wrap up.
We didn't have time for this anymore. Yeah. But yeah, no, I did. It felt a little bit quick, but all, you know, that's usually that's the resolution sitcom. In a sitcom. Yeah. You're like, wait, wow, that was quick.
That was quick. But, yeah, that's true. But I think by the end, DJ and Kimmy's friendship was ultimately strengthened by this fight. You know, and this is not the last time we fight over Kimmy's birthday party. Like, there's more birthday parties to come.
More birthday drama. It's always a birthday. It's always a birthday.
Always a birthday. And I don't even know Kimmy's birth date. Like, people have asked me before, and I'm like, I don't know. What? I've never actually known any of the characters' birthdays.
This episode aired when?
In October of 88.
October 21st.
Let me go back up. Yeah, that sounds right.
Was it? I'm gonna say Kimmy's maybe born. I could see Kimmy as an October
baby. I don't know what sign that is, but yeah, okay,
maybe September.
Yeah,
is Kimmy a Virgo? I don't know.
I don't think she's organized. She's not organized enough to be a Virgo.
It's true.
She's kind of a hot mess with the party planning.
How many birthday parties did you pull together in the backyard in 10 minutes?
You're right. The 10 minutes. Yeah,
that's nobody could do.
Finding a cow, a full cow for the kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she's killing it.
So maybe she is a Virgo. Okay. I'll buy that.
When is Kimmy's birthday? When is Oliver's birthday? You know what? I'm sure somebody out there knows. If you know,
please.
When any of the Full House characters, not us in real life, obviously, but when... Like, if there's ever a mention of specific birthdays of the characters, like, whether it's a month or an actual day or anything, we'd love to know, because I don't know if there... I don't remember if there was.
Yeah, I don't know if it's part of the canon of Full House, but yeah, I have no idea.
If it is, we'd love to hear it, and if not, we'd love to hear what you think, and what sign do you think that all of the characters are? There we go.
That'd be a good deep dive right there.
Yes. And let us know. Make sure you guys are following.
We have Everywhere You Looks. We got to do Everywhere You Looks.
Oh!
If you have some. If you don't have them, I've got a couple.
I do, actually, and my one Everywhere You Look, it was a bit of a personal moment, but it was also something... My Everywhere You Look is in the very, the beginning scene.
Okay.
Michelle is sitting in her high chair and she has a rainbow bright bowl in front of her.
I did see that. That's so cool.
I was a huge Rainbow Bright fan as a kid. Had Rainbow Bright birthday parties. Like, I loved Rainbow Bright.
Mm.
And usually on shows, like, you have to pay licensing fees and whatever, all that kind of stuff. So I have a feeling that was like whatever little snack cup maybe that Ashley and Mary Kate had, and they just like set it on the thing and didn't switch it over into something else because they were like, whatever, it's a little plastic. Not like in a bad way. Like, they just were like, that's just Michelle's thing.
Okay.
Because it's something you don't often see.
They usually cover up the
It's usually Greeked or something, right? Yeah. So, but anyway, Rainbow Bright was in there, and I was thrilled. I was like, "Oh my god, Rainbow Bright!" But that was my Everywhere You Look.
Oh, I like that.
Along
That's a
with
good
friends in the party scene.
That's so great. I'm gonna go back and watch that party scene just to see everybody else that I missed. It's so funny.
Did you have an Everywhere You Look?
I do. I have a couple. One is in DJ's room. Did you notice all the horses? Like, there's horse figurines. Suddenly, it's exploded. Yeah. Horse figurines. Yeah. Horse posters, like horse decorations on the wall.
Yes.
And we have an episode coming up.
I was going to say, well, it's because there's an episode coming up where DJ's into horses. So probably when they were planning out the season of episodes, they were like, oh, we need to make her into a horse girl a little bit sooner than we made her into a Stacey Q fan.
Right. We need to put the horses in evidence
early. So they're
set it
up a little bit more with this one. Right. Yes.
Hey, that's very forward thinking. They were thinking several episodes in advance,
which is
groundbreaking for them. That's so funny. And the only other one, it's sort of an Everywhere You Look, but when Kimmy's opening her present from DJ, the lovely purple hat,
right?
The gift is prop wrapped. You know, they wrap gifts differently on TV than you do in real life. So you wrap the top of the box.
Oh, right.
Separate from the bottom of the box.
Right.
So the actor can open it easier and for continuity,
so you're not tearing
it's better.
The paper and all. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it cracks me up every time I see this in TV or movies when an actor opens a present.
Because it's so much effort to actually wrap a box that way. Yes. Where you wrap the lid and perfectly tuck it and tape it. And then you do the bottom part and then it's like a thing and you take it off. Yeah.
Yeah. Way too much effort.
No,
perfect for TV.
I am a gift bag kind of gal, let me tell you.
That's what we needed was gift bags back then.
Gift bags, yeah. Well, I mean, she spent so much money on that hat, she obviously had to really put some effort into wrapping it. So.
Yeah, that's true. She got to present it in a, as a
you can't,
wonderful present.
That hat, you can't just throw it in a bag.
No.
It's purple, it's sequined.
It's all about the presentation of the purple sequined hat. That's all I got
well,
for everyone.
Happy birthday, Kimmy.
Oh, thank you. Whenever it is, thank you.
Whenever it is, whenever your birthday is, happy birthday, Kimmy Gibbler. Shall I say Cammy?
Cammy Gibbler, right. Cammy Gobbler.
But we are so glad that you guys tuned in with us this week. And next episode, we are going to be looking at season 2, episode 3, It's Not My Job. Said that many times before. That'll be so much fun to have you there next week. And in the meantime, if you guys want to follow us on Instagram, you can follow us at How Rude Podcast. You can also send us an email at howrudepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're liking and subscribing wherever you're listening to the podcast so that you can get brand new episodes right when they come out. And yeah, we loved having you guys here again for another week. And remember, everyone, the world is small, but the house is full.
Wow. See? Like this is, I'm
like
a little
every
disappointed.
Third or fourth time
I'm a little
that
disappointed
get
that you're getting it right. So
don't
many
worry.
Times.
I get overconfident and then go wait and then, yeah.
Okay. So maybe next time, you'll screw it up.
There's always tomorrow. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.